Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
God bless you, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. Mr. John Haller is our guest today. We're going to talk about lawfare, Israel, and world events. But before we do that, we wrapped up our fundraiser a few weeks ago, and we're still getting people sending in donations. Thank you. That means they're probably watching a podcast from a few weeks ago, and so we appreciate it nonetheless. But I want to thank Jennifer from Sebring, Florida, also Doug from Neenah, Wisconsin. And then I also want to shout out to people that are ongoing supporters, meaning every month they give, and that's on an ongoing basis. And we couldn't do this without you guys. We're so very grateful. So just one, if you bear with me, just to mention Carol from Madisonville, Tennessee, Bud from Ohio, Pamela from Traverse City, Michigan, Michael from Mexico City, Belinda from North Carolina, Michael from Bradford, Ohio, Sigri from Brainerd, Minnesota, Carol from Las Vegas, Nevada, John and Rachel, Cody, Wyoming, Jean from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Kathleen and Tommy, God bless you guys, Marietta, California, Stefan from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and from Gilbert, South Carolina, Cheryl from Forest Lake, Minnesota, Nina from Charlottesville, Virginia, Maria from Los Angeles, thank you, Maria, Janet from Neenah, Wisconsin, Laura from De Pere, Mike from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Vance from De Pere. God bless you guys. These are some local friends and family members in Christ, and Nancy from Sherwood, Wisconsin. God bless you guys. You're the power behind this, other than God, the main power that gets us out there. But thank you so much. So John Haller, Fellowship Bible Chapel, the website FBChapel.com, and also on YouTube, you can watch his prophecy updates, Fellowship Bible Chapel. You can also search him out if you're not following his page on Facebook as well, Fellowship Bible Chapel. John Haller, a lot to talk about today, huh?
Usually we say that, that there's every a time. Lot to talk about. Today we really mean it.
So let's jump right in. Let's start with lawfare, Trump, Hunter Biden. The courts have been compromised. Go ahead.
You know, I'm really concerned with the way this is going. And in fact, we're witnessing in our country a situation that's going on. I mean, look, we had the BLM protests a couple of years ago. Nobody got arrested. They burned down federal buildings. We then were followed with arrests of Christians who were praying outside abortion clinics. A number of those have been convicted, including one, a lady who's in her, I believe in her 80s, yep. Is being sentenced to years in prison, some as many as 10 or 11 years, huge fines. And I've seen the videos, and they've been arrested by SWAT teams and raids like they're terrible Christians and or terrible criminals. And now we have this whole situation going on with the protests against Israel, the horribly anti-Semitic protests, which we'll talk more about in a minute.
Yes.
And nobody's being arrested. I mean, they had a video there. They had a display in southern part of lower Manhattan where they had the pictures of the people that were slaughtered were taken hostage at that music festival, the Nova Music Festival. And they're walking around with signs on the streets of New York saying, make October 7 happen again.
Jeez.
They're painting threats on synagogues all over the country. Some have been burned. This is happening in Europe as well, and in the UK. But nobody's getting arrested. For the most part,
it's infuriating.
And it's lawfare. Yeah. So let's look at the lawfare that's going on. I mean, there's litigation going on about election issues already. I think there was a ruling in Michigan yesterday that sort of said, "Hey, Miss Secretary of State, you're not complying with the law." But what they did was Trump was brought up on these, for lack of a better term, trumped up charges. And I know people. You know, I know some people who don't like the president, and so I'm not defending everything he's ever done in his life. What I'm concerned about, and I think I would be concerned about if this was happening in the opposite direction, And these charges, they were supposedly, they took case the things that have been barred by the statute of limitations. You have a certain period of time to bring a criminal case against someone from the time the crime happened. So these happened back in 2017. The supposed hush money payments that he had made and the way they were recorded, and they trumped those up into a federal election law cases, violations. But they didn't instruct the jury on that. They didn't need the prosecution didn't even go first in closing argument. I've been a lawyer for 40 some years. I've never heard of this. Hmm. It just doesn't happen. How is Trump supposed to respond to this? And so he is tried, 34 felony counts. He's convicted. Sentencing is scheduled for July 11th. My gut tells me they're going to give him jail time.
Wow.
Now, how does that work out in the middle of a campaign? He was already taken off the campaign trail for 6 or 7 weeks during the trial because the judge ordered that he had to be there every day in the courtroom in New York City. He could get jail time.
Hey, John, can I ask you a question of what you said your gut tells you that you think this is the way it's going to go? What do you think the fair-minded, meaning independent voters or the average American, not diehard demonic Democrat or anything like that, or not the Marxists, just the ones that are looking at all this and going, this is wrong, it shouldn't happen, regardless of what, you know, political party you're with. Do you think there are enough people that are going to say, is that going to impact their vote in November? What are your thoughts briefly on that?
To be honest with you, I do not know. I would hope that people would look at this and see what happens. This is what they do in Venezuela.
Yeah.
This is what they do in Colombia. This is not what we do in America. This has never happened in American history.
That's right. I've
never been charged, let alone tried. And so there are some cases before the Supreme Court, but let me just tell you, I'm not an optimist. Maybe it's because I was a trial lawyer and I had to deal with cases like this. So you're always telling your client what can go wrong. He has to appeal to state court. Those are all the same kind of judges that put him on trial that don't like him. And David, I know people don't want to believe this. Judges will rule on personal interests and beliefs. I've seen it happen, and I've gone to my client and I said, listen, there's no way you're going to win with this judge, but we will win the case on appeal. And in every case that actually held true.
Wow.
But I don't think he's going to be successful on the initial appeal. Then once he exhausts all those state appeals, which could take a couple of years.
Jeez.
So now we're into what, 2026. And in the meantime, let's say he gets reelected or elected again. There are about 30 to 40 countries, because he's a convicted felon, that he's not allowed to go into. So the sitting president of the United States will not be able to go and make trips to conduct foreign policy. And I believe that includes France and the UK. That's a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
If he exhausts his state court appeals, he can file a federal appeal on federal constitutional issues. And I think he has very good due process claims. But then by the time that's decided, we're 3 years down the road. I would be surprised if it's less than 3 years.
Mm. Wow, this is unbelievable. And a lot of people are really upset about this whole process.
It's very difficult, David. I mean, we use the term unprecedented a lot when we talk about the events of the day in Bible prophecy. And this is unprecedented. And so we're looking at maybe 3 years down the road, which if Trump is elected,
big
and you go out 3 years, you're over halfway into his term, which is his last term that he can serve as president. The other concern that I have too is, and I watch right-wing media, and they're saying, we're going to do the same thing to the Democrats that are out of office as they've done to us.
You can't. You do not have the courts. You don't have the judges. You don't have
if Trump is elected, and then he will put the He'll be in charge of the Justice Department and he can put it in. And I'm just saying is, and then we're in this really bad cycle.
Yeah.
And I agree somewhat with, you know, commentators like the guy from Article 3 Project. And he says, listen, you know, the only way we're going to stop this is to cause them the pain that they've caused us. And there's some, that's a legitimate thought.
Yeah.
At the same time, this is going on. We have, you know, the president, son, the first son of a sitting president to ever be convicted of anything, has now been convicted of a crime. And they say, well, he's not going to get, you know, you see, hear all the MSNBC people saying, oh, well, he's not going to go to prison. That's not that big of a deal of a problem, but that's not true. About 97% of the people who are convicted of that crime do prison time.
Well, I am so,
and that's unprecedented as well.
Yeah, I'm so skeptical. I you know, these people are above the law. And if Hunter does a day of jail time, I'll be really surprised. If it was Donald Trump Jr., yeah, they would carry that out and follow through. But I can't imagine that. Anyway, there's a really quick, John, and I'll let you continue.
President Biden can pardon him.
Yeah, and there's a great Babylon Bee headline. You know, you love the Bee, right? It says, I call it above the law, but it says Biden says he is still proud of his son for getting away with everything else he did. And so, and that's good. The Babylon Bee, I love him. But go ahead, continue. We've got just 2 minutes before we'll take a break.
So this is going to be a problem. But listen, until I know everybody gets upset with the Republicans. They're not doing anything. Why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they prosecuting? They don't have the ability to prosecute anybody.
Yeah.
They don't control the levers of power. So until they would get elected and have the people in the Senate and the House to support them, I'm just telling you, if you think the election or the selection, as some people might want to call it, is going to solve anything, I think that's a bit naive. Yeah. In addition to that, David, we mentioned this while we were talking ahead of time. There are elections all over the world, India, Russia,
yes,
the European Union, the UK in a few weeks. And there's going to be tremendous change because of that. So I think when the year started, about 50% of the planet was going to elect national office people this year. And in India, they said he's going to win in a landslide. He barely held on. Modi. That's a pretty big country. I mean, I'm just telling you, there's so many things we could talk about on this, but it's certainly a year where I think disruption is expected.
Disruption's a good word, and they're already doing that. And they, you know, I think, John, and we have to take a break in a minute. I think the left, the radicals, the Marxists, and other ilk saw how much they were able to get away with in the summer of 2020 and the BLM, Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, and then the COVID policies and the government control and power grabs. They saw how much they were able to get away with. So disruption is a great word. Your final thoughts before we take a break?
They're incredibly well-funded. David, I have contended for some time that a lot of these multi-billion dollar settlements that were achieved back during the financial crisis following the 2008 collapse, that money was laundered into left-wing NGOs. And so there's billions of dollars that have been funded there. And by the way, one of the big funders, George Soros, is sort of stepping back. His son, Alexander, who is 38, is taking over. And Alexander says, if you think my dad was political, you've seen nothing yet. Oh, and Alexander has a new girlfriend, Huma Abedin, the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, who is still married to the disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner, and whose parents published Muslim Brotherhood publications, and for which she worked.
Wow. Nothing to see here. Move along. Yeah. John,
if you wrote this up in a movie script, nobody would believe it.
Exactly. All right, we've got to take a brief pause. We'll be right back with John Haller on Worldview Matters.
Today's episode is brought to you by Freedom Project Academy. Take back your kids' education. FPA's fully accredited classical curriculum provides live, on-demand, and homeschool courses built on Judeo-Christian values. Request your information packet and save 10% on tuition by visiting freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com.
Friends, if you're interested in sponsoring Worldview Matters, if you know someone who is, please send us an email, worldviewmatters@fpeusa.org, or just simply go to the website and click on email. That's worldviewmatters.tv. Also, we would love it, love it, love it if you haven't done this or haven't done it in a while. If you leave us a five-star review, many, many podcast platforms that we're on, we appreciate you guys watching and listening wherever you get Worldview Matters, and we're expanding. Thank you in God and you. So leave us a good review, and we really appreciate it. It does help. So John Haller, let's go over to Israel now. And a lot of things happened. A couple of weeks ago, there was a dramatic and successful rescue of hostages. And a lot of what's happening up north in northern Israel, we don't hear a lot about over here. Go ahead.
So Israel's doing pretty well in Gaza. It's taken much longer than they thought. But when that war started in Gaza back in October, well, actually, it was in November before they really started going in there. I had heard estimates from people and connected to the IDF and other intelligence and think tanks in Israel that Israel could expect 15 to 20,000 dead soldiers.
Oh my!
They've had 300.
Wow, that's miraculous. Almost.
So it's miraculous, and it shows how professional they are. Plus, they keep revising the numbers downward. And, you know, I would not believe anything that you hear coming out of Gaza or the UN. They, you know, of course, in the hostage rescue operation a week ago, they rescued four hostages. They were living with civilians, supposed, quote, civilians in scare quotes in Gaza. One is a physician. The other, his son, is an Al Jazeera journalist and also contributes to a publication called the Palestinian Chronicle, which is a Palestinian Arab propaganda rag. So the claim is that 300 civilians were killed and 700 injured in the operation. And I saw another Babylon Bee. It had a chart, you know, like, Hamas finds out what happens when you keep hostages in a civilian population, you know, and it showed that the graph for the numbers killed and everything. But what are they supposed to do? And then you have the U.S. government submitting literally the same day that they rescue the hostages, they submit a proposal requiring Israel to enter into a ceasefire and surrender to Hamas. I think that, and I've done a recent interview with a secular guy, but his contention is that one of the most important issues in today's world is anti-Semitism. And that goes back a long way. It's tied into the eugenicist movement. It's tied into the Nazis and World War II. It's tied into the development of the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Fatah, which they want to give everything over to, which was headed up and founded by a guy named Haj Aman al-Husseini. He was a Palestinian. He had family in Egypt. There is some indication, not locked down completely, that his nephew or a family member was a guy named Yasser Arafat, who headed up the PLO. And we talked about it. And, you know, it's interesting. 30 years ago, I was in D.C. for depositions, and it was September 13th, 1993. The next day, I went down and spent some time with a very liberal Democratic congressman friend from high school. Very, very bright guy. But, you know, we disagreed on quite a bit. And they just had the signing of the Oslo Accords. And now we see that they're pushing these Oslo Accord type thing. Just make peace. Just give them land. But the whole thing is designed, David, to get rid of the Jews in Israel and elsewhere. And the hatred that we've seen since October 7th, you would think that it was Israel that did something on October 7th, the way things are going. But instead, it was Israel who's being attacked. It's shocking to me. It's almost hard to articulate what's happening. But they've taken over thing in Gaza. But what were 600 or 300 miles of tunnels in Gaza that they've spent, that they had to build out of concrete and reinforced steel, now total probably 600 miles under this, the Gaza Strip, which is maybe 40 miles from north to south. They have these tunnels. They found 50 tunnels crossing the border into Egypt, where Bedouin Muslim Brotherhood attached tribes in the Negev are controlling the smuggling operation. And I hear that the president of Egypt's son is getting a big cut of that. Hamas itself has stolen aid that's been sent into Gaza, and they've made $500 million profit since the war started selling aid that they stole. And they don't care. And yesterday, now I can't remember where I, it was just recently, I don't know if it was yesterday, they released messages that came from Sinwar, the head of Hamas. And he said, it helps us if we have more dead civilians.
Wow.
They don't care. It's a death cult. It's collateral, a terrorist damage. Nazi-like death cult.
Yeah.
So we see what Gaza. So things have gone well. They've taken over the Philadelphia quarter, the southern border. They've just destroyed, recently been destroying tunnels. But let's go up north. Up north, David, I wake up some mornings and I have a red alert app, which gives you a warning when missiles or rockets are coming into Israel. Well, I wake up some mornings. I have 100 red alerts on my phone. Most of those now, because the rockets have been pretty much used up in Gaza. They had about 15,000 when all of this started. In the north, Hezbollah, and I've interviewed some people from Alma Research. I would recommend you follow them, Israel-Alma, A-L-M-A.org, founded by Zarit Zahavi. And I've interviewed some of the people, researchers associated with them. They cover the north. Here's the problem. Whatever is in the south in terms of tunnels is much, much worse in the north. Now, Hezbollah, after the 2006 ending in 2006 of the Second Lebanon War, there was a UN resolution 1701 that required Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed proxy that really effectively controls not only the Lebanese government, but the Lebanese military, which we have given $1 billion or more to. They have built tunnels. And their goal is, our philosophy is, Israel will be destroyed, and they may destroy us, but we're coming out of the tunnels to take over. They have more tunnels in southern Lebanon. It probably go all the way from the Israel border to Beirut. That's over 40 miles. And they're more extensive, and they're drilled through bedrock. So they're much more difficult to detect and destroy.
This must be incredibly costly and expensive to build these massive, as the amount of tunnels, the length of the tunnels. So this is just amazing.
Understand, our government's been giving them money all along.
Yes.
And Hezbollah has been building these tunnels for 40 years.
Oh my goodness.
And all of our administrations have been pushing the Iranian agenda. It's happened all the way through. And remember, on the way out of the of office, the Obama administration gave pallets of cash.
Yep.
And about $150 billion to Iran. Sanctions have been taken off of Iran during the first couple of years of the Biden administration. And those sanctions have resulted in multi-tens of billions of dollars being released to Iran. And then Israel, well, we give Israel $4 billion a year. Well, it's $4 billion that they're required to buy stuff from us and not build stuff on their own soil. And so that $4 billion, but Iran's getting much, much more. it, the whole thing is insane. There was an agreement on the maritime gas fields off the coast that was negotiated by a guy named Amos Hochstein of the U.S. government. He's our energy czar. Israel was going to take that gas and build a pipeline to Europe. And by the way, when it was done, it would have replaced pretty much the gas that was not able to come from Russia because of the Ukraine war. And what's happened? Hochstein interfered with that, made Israel sign an agreement. This was in the year Lapid, Naftali Bennett days, to give a large portion of those gas fields to Lebanon. So Lebanon could try to prop up its failed government. They don't effectively have a government in Lebanon anymore. The economy is in complete shambles. Hezbollah runs rampant. And Hezbollah doesn't care if everybody else is poor, just like Hamas doesn't care if civilians die in Gaza.
That's right.
Because it helps them propaganda-wise. Yeah. So this is a big problem. By the way, Lebanon has gone out to look for gas and oil in those gas fields that they got in that agreement. And I think this is somehow tied into Genesis 12:3 that, you know, our friend Bill Canning talks about. They've drilled and they found water and sand. No oil.
Wow.
No gas.
John Haller, Fellowship Bible Chapel on YouTube and Facebook. Thank you so much for watching and sharing the podcast. John Haller, Fellowship Bible Chapel, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.